Chapter 48. What's in an egg? My weekly commute between San Miguel de Allende and Mexico City continued, as the excavations below the Metropolitan Cathedral unearthed a myriad of Aztec artifacts, many of which were worth recording. Once selected, the responsibility of documenting them fell to me, as I was the only archaeological illustrator employed by Patrimonio Nacional, at that time. As the weeks rolled by, the archaeology team continued to visit our favorite restaurant, offering Comida Corrida, a cheap super delicious four-course lunch, with the menu changing daily. To get there we had no alternative but to walk in single file through the milling crowd of humanity on the street. One day, after we'd eaten, co-worker Jaime happened to be walking behind me, as we made our way back to the cathedral. On our return, he took me aside and sheepishly said, "I didn't realize how rude Mexicans were to foreigners."
Rude to foreigners?
I'd no idea what he was talking about, because my Spanish was basic at best, so whatever derogatory remarks were directed at me, went over my head. This was one of the very few positives I derived from only speaking basic Spanish. As the weeks went by, I gradually began to feel ill, but I had no idea why. My symptoms included weight loss, nausea, diarrhea, and finally, projectile vomiting. I phoned my mother, who hastily organized an appointment with an English-speaking doctor in Querétaro Row, a provincial town on the way to San Miguel. On arrival, I was immediately admitted, tested, and quickly diagnosed with Salmonella.
Salmonella?
I knew nothing about Salmonella. I learnt it was a bacterial infection, often acquired from lightly cooked eggs, or chicken meat, or fish, contaminated with either animal or human feces. I was promptly rehydrated, prescribed antibiotics, and discharged the following day. My mother was beside herself with concern. Still very unwell, I returned to her house in San Miguel to recuperate. I spent a week in bed, suffering the most intense piercing and unrelenting headache. It was as though a circle of barbed wire was being slowly tightened around my head. I could hardly move, and I wondered if I was going to die. I realized I had to do something. My friend, Joanne, had introduced me to a man who was a respected traditional healer, known in Latin America as a curandero. Desperate times call for desperate measures. There was no doubt I was in need of his healing skills, as conventional medicine hadn't helped. I telephoned him, describing my illness, after which he instructed me to get into Mexico City as quickly as possible. Moving slowly, and in great pain, I managed to catch the next bus into the city, then slowly limped to his first floor office. I was exhausted when I arrived, and thankful I'd made it. After I'd caught my breath, he explained that he would perform a cleansing, but I'd no idea what it entailed. He asked me to buy two fresh eggs from the restaurant below. I flatly refused, because I was feeling so weak, so he went down instead. Eggs sourced, he next instructed me to use a thick black crayon to draw a 90-centimeter diameter circle onto a large sheet of brown paper, then draw a six-pointed star within it, with each point touching the edge of the outer circle. He then asked me to strip and stand in the center of the star. The healing had begun. First, he asked me to cradle one of the eggs in my hand. He then asked if I felt any vibration. I concentrated hard on the egg, but felt nothing. His explanation for this was that I was a non-believer. He then took the egg from my hand, then, whilst softly chanting unintelligible incantations, passed it all over my body, including the soles of my feet. Next, he handed me a glass jar half filled with water, and asked me to crack the egg into it. As I gently tapped the shell on the rim of the jar, the egg exploded. Fine gray powdery stuff, resembling iron filings, fell onto the brown paper, on which I was standing. He then held the jar up to an infrared light, to examine the contents. To my utter amazement,
The character of the egg had completely changed. The yolk had solidified, now reminiscent of a poached egg, and it had a thin strand running from it, with clumps of the fine grey powdery stuff floating in the still transparent albumen. His interpretation. The powdery grey stuff represented the illness, and the thin strand represented my connection to my mother. An umbilicus of sorts. I don't remember his explanation for the solid yolk, as it was such a long time ago. To ensure he got all the illness, the ritual was repeated with the second egg. This time, the egg cracked normally, and slid into the second jar, half filled with water. Even without the infrared light, it was obvious this one was as normal as any egg, cracked, to be scrambled. The ritual complete, I dressed. His final request was that I burn the brown paper on which I'd been standing. I had to refuse his request, because I had nowhere to burn paper, without drawing attention to myself, in this crowded city. I walked out of his office healed. I couldn't believe the change. My excruciating headache and muscle soreness was gone, and I was myself once more. Now I could return to my job at the cathedral. After my extraordinary healing experience, I was curious to know more about it. The curandero explained that his training had been long and arduous, and as part of the training, he was required to sacrifice one of his senses. He opted to sacrifice his hearing. Not long after I returned to the cathedral, work began to slow, and my archaeological illustration skills were no longer required. Fighting back the tears, I farewelled my work colleagues, who had become close friends in the time we'd been together. A thesis was required as part of my degree. As the result of my work at the cathedral, I planned to produce a handbook, explaining the various documentation techniques for archaeological excavations. These included stratigraphic drawings of digs in progress, ceramic reconstruction drawings, and visual representations of stone and obsidian objects. I was excited at the prospect of producing something useful, and I was super keen to get started. But first I needed to find a job. And so began a very demoralizing phase of my life, as I tried to find work in Mexico. I asked at the Australian Embassy, but unsurprisingly, my skill set didn't match their needs. Next, I doggedly pursued numerous leads, that came to nothing. It became clear that I'd no choice but to return to Australia after 3 life-changing years in Latin America. With a heavy heart, I broke camp and headed home, assuming returning to the culture I came from would be relatively easy. But I'd no idea how difficult re-entry would be. On reflection. Slagging off at foreigners. I was 175 centimeters tall, and very conspicuous in a country where the average height was 160 or less, for both men and women, of indigenous descent. Newcomers, mostly immigrants from Europe or the United States of America, were often taller. I'm inclined to think the verbal abuse I experienced in the street was based on the assumption that I was a gringa from the United States. This prompted a humorous suggestion by a well-meaning friend that I carry a sign saying, "Yo soy australiana." I am Australian. Whenever I met Mexicans for the first time, after uttering this magical sentence, I noticed that their body language and facial expression immediately softened. It seems Mexicans haven't forgotten the many centuries of North American oppression. Jaime. Jaime appeared disappointed and apologetic after overhearing the derogatory comments leveled at me on the street. I was touched by his concern, and from then on, he became quite protective of me. If ever we were out at night as a group without a vehicle, he would insist on accompanying me back to wherever I was staying that week. Curandero healing. As the result of my healing experience, I am now far more accepting of diverse ways of healing. All ancient cultures have healers, who use plants and minerals to heal. I'm reminded of the books written in the late 1960s and early 1970s of the shamanic training received by initiates in the Mexican desert. The most popular of these were the Carlos Castaneda classics. The teachings of Don Juan, a Yaqui way of knowledge, a separate reality, further conversations with Don Juan, and Journey to Ixtlan, the lessons of Don Juan, now classified as fiction by some scholars. The Curandero. Sometime later, he became romantically involved with a woman who insisted he stop his healing work. He agreed, and their relationship was formalized, and he went on to become our regular family man. I am so grateful he was able to heal me before he quit. Win-win. For a six-month period, I was being paid by the Mexican government to document important Aztec archaeological finds, and at the same time gaining credit towards my master's degree. I couldn't believe my good fortune. Typed on my master's transcript for both the spring and summer quarter of 1976, is Project Artist for making drawings of the objects excavated from beneath the National Cathedral, Mexico City, by authority of the Secretary of the Department of National Patrimony. Grade given by her superior, Dr. Constanza Vega, archaeologist in charge, and architect Luis Fernando Rodriguez, architect in charge. The grade awarded was an A. Nice.